This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford's 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
There's a sweated through shirt thrown over a chair, an old photo of Ana Mañana.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making the show part of your Wednesday morning, as we finally have answers to what seemingly has been a long question filled summer in regards to the biggest question in the NBA. Thank you, God, it is finally over. Thank you, God, because I was getting sick and tired of having to constantly come up with reasons why I needed to say, you know what? No, yes, maybe so. That's done now. You can call into the program, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's the number to call in to the show, as I'm here with you for only an hour today. I figured that I'd come in, you know, get some more work in, get more reps, get better as a radio host, do all of those things. But I will tell you this much, though. You want to know who else is getting better, though? The Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be better this season with Kevin Durant in circle than they would have been without him had they had traded him away. Yesterday, the breaking news broke about 24 hours ago that the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant had agreed to move forward together after Kevin Durant had made demands to be traded just after the conclusion of the NBA season. And with all of that, we spent all summer debating, talking about, should the Celtics be in on Kevin Durant? I've given my reasons why, passionately and vigorously, aggressively at times. But Kevin Durant is going to stay in Brooklyn. And these are the thoughts from Stephen A. Smith yesterday morning, courtesy of ESPN, on First Take on the matter.
You win Golden State. How many titles would Golden State have won if Kevin Durant never left? They probably have 6 to 7 by now. Or six, at least 6, okay? Here's the reality. You wanted to leave to have your own team. Well, you got it. You got Kyrie. He ain't going this year. You got Ben Simmons. You got Seth Curry. You got Joe Harris. You got Claxton in the crew. You got, Pat Mills. I mean, is he still there? I forgot. I think he left. I don't even remember. Let me say this to you. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I didn't look it up. Okay? I haven't been paying much attention to the Brooklyn Nets outside of KD right now. Let me tell you this. Patty Mills is still there. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You got a crew. You got a crew. You could win it all. KD, what you gonna do? See, this is the beautiful thing about it. He got exactly what he wanted. He didn't want to leave Golden State to go to some scrub team. He didn't just want to leave Golden State to hang with his boy Kyrie. He wanted to leave Golden State, have his own team, be a preeminent face for that franchise, and compete for championships. That's what the hell you've got. What you gonna do about it? I believe Kevin Durant, right now, healthy, just finished averaging 29, 7, and 6. I believe, when healthy, Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. I believe that Kevin Durant is easy. Everybody talk about all these other guys. He ain't the top 10. Kevin Durant is not a top 10 talent in the NBA. It's sacrilegious. It's blasphemous. People need to be sent straight to hell to think that Kevin Durant ain't a top 10 player in the history of basketball. His brother is on that level. Mm-hmm. But now you got to go out there and show what leader you are. We know what player you are. We know what a player. We know what kind of player you is. There's nothing to debate about KD. But it ain't enough no more just to put the ball in the hole and to be the extraordinary, exceptional, transcendent talent that you are. Now you got to up your leadership game. And you got to galvanize the troops around you in order to help deliver the chip. I don't know if he's willing to do that. I don't know if he can do that. But I do know he has to in order for this team to answer the call people expect them to answer.
That was Stephen A. Smith yesterday morning as he, in fact, is going to be staying put with the Brooklyn Nets. In fact, one thing that I've come to realize as I've had time to think about this is that, to me, it just seemed that Kevin Durant finally came to his senses and finally had a come to Jesus moment where he said, you know what? I'm better off staying here in Brooklyn. Why leave? I don't think it's because of lack of interest. I don't think it's because of the lack of, you know, desire to want to play elsewhere. At the end of the day, my personal reason why I think Kevin Durant said, let's move forward and stay in Brooklyn is because he realizes that the best place for him to win a title is going to be in Brooklyn. And had he gone elsewhere, this would have done irreparable damage to his legacy. More so than him leaving OKC in the summer of 2016 to go join the 73-win Golden State Warriors, who had just lost in the NBA Finals to the Cleveland Cavaliers after blowing a 3-1 lead. That was the reason why I believe Kevin Durant stayed. It wasn't that the Boston Celtics didn't have the package to get Kevin Durant. It wasn't the fact that the Phoenix Suns weren't on his list, because he made it clear very early on that Phoenix was one of his preferred destinations. If anything else, Kevin Durant understood that sometimes in life, the grass is not always greener on the other side. It's just not. Let's just say hypothetically for a moment that Kevin Durant went to Boston, for example. Let's say he came to the Celtics, and the Celtics traded Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart or whatever package that they would have put together just to get Kevin Durant. He comes here. He plays with Jason Tatum. What if he doesn't succeed? What if he doesn't win a championship in the first year? Because let's face it, that would have been the expectation for Kevin Durant. They gave up a lot to get Kevin Durant. The expectation is you have to win the championship this year. No other exception. How would he have handled the demands and the expectations and the pressure of trying to win a championship in Boston? That's a real question. No one will ever know now. Because Kevin Durant made a decision that, in all likelihood, if it all works out, let's say in the next 2 years, may have saved his legacy. I gave my reasons over the last couple of months why I don't want the Celtics to go get Kevin Durant. This entire spiel right now, it's not about the Celtics going after Kevin Durant. If anything else, I do believe that with Kevin Durant staying with Brooklyn, you have an incredibly compelling storyline going into the new NBA season that is surely to kick off on October 18th in very short order. We all know locally that the Celtics, they have a legitimate championship team going into next season. But we also know now that they have a legitimate challenge in the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie is expected to play an entire season healthy. Ben Simmons, by all accounts, including by Stephen A. Smith himself, he is healthy and ready to go. And now you have Kevin Durant. Man, that is an interesting trio right there. If they can all play together, let's say 70 or 75 games this season out of 82 games, there's no reason why Brooklyn cannot challenge anybody in the East, whether if it's Boston, Philadelphia, or even Milwaukee. These are the thoughts that were shared by Jay Williams on Get Up This Morning on ESPN. This is what he had to say in regards to Kevin Durant agreeing to move forward together.
I think Kevin Durant has been given the gift of a lifetime. Josiah has put a mark in the sand and said, I am not moving you. But in return for that, Kevin Durant, look, the narrative that would have been about Kevin Durant if he had forced a trade would have been like, oh, well, Kevin Durant just can't get it done. This thing is messy. Winning championships sometimes is messy. It's not supposed to be easy. This is what Kevin Durant has always wanted, to prove that he can be the leader that everybody knows he can be, that he's looking to find out he can be. So with Kyrie Irving playing 103 games out of a max of 226 over the past 3 years, with Ben Simmons coming back to this team after claiming mental health issues to get removed from the 76ers, with a head coach that literally 2 weeks ago you just gave an ultimatum to your billionaire owner and said you can move him and Sean Marks and I'll come back. Now that everything is there, it gives you a chance to become the leader with one of the most skilled teams in the history of the NBA. With Ben Simmons, you tell me a player who's 6'10", who could defend the way he can, that can handle the ball. Kyrie Irving might be the most skilled player in the game of basketball. You tell me a 7-footer more skilled in the history of basketball than Kevin Durant. With the core that this team has, the one person that needs to hold everybody accountable in conjunction with Steve Nash is Kevin Durant. This is his chance to prove that he can lead this team to be a world champion. It's a gift of an opportunity. It's a life of a lifetime.
He's absolutely right. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, because we all know that when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City to go and play with the Golden State Warriors, everybody in sports knew that this was the most cowardly act that a pro athlete has ever made in the history of pro sports. Your team just blew a 3-1 series lead to the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals in 2016, and you went to go join them to win a ring. Not only did he win a ring, he won 2 rings and 2 Finals MVP awards in the process. So now with him staying in Brooklyn, this now puts him in a conversation, if he's in fact able to bring a championship to the Brooklyn Nets, that this is a man that can lead a team to a title. Because right now, that's the only thing missing off his mantle. It's not him not winning a championship. He went to join a juggernaut in order to do so. Can he lead a team and be that guy that leads a team to a title? That's the only thing that's missing. And the day that he finally does that is going to change everything. Everything, and may very well change the perception surrounding Kevin Durant. That's why Kevin Durant staying with the Brooklyn Nets is such a huge deal. Kevin Durant finally having that moment in which that he decides that he's going to say, Josiah finally convinced him, or whatever that may have gone down in the back scenes or whatever, is a win for Kevin Durant. It's a win for the NBA. And let's face it, we're going to have one hell of a season in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be a war between Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Brooklyn. We got all fall to debate as to who do you think that team is going to be that comes out of the East. The phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's the number to call in. We're going to take a music break here. And let's see if we can get this thing going right, because it's the second time this has happened before. Come on. Nope. Either way, let's go back to where we were. Here we are. Don't mind me, I'm just waiting for the soundboard to get right. Here we go. Coming up next, let's talk some NFL. There was a column that I saw on ESPN Plus this morning that I want to have an opportunity to really get into. Teams that are expected to take a step back in 2022 after a successful 2021 season. And there's a couple of teams that really does surprise me that appeared on this list. I'm going to tell you who those teams are and why. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Special lady, I think it's time for a little one-on-one conversation. Talking about my baby, baby. Not you, baby. Our baby, baby. And recent scientific studies on lactation.
Baby, you gotta know the facts, lady.
Magical lady, gotta get down to business. Gonna turn the lights down real low for a slideshow. Childhood disease resistance. A wonderful woman, if you do breastfeed, a little baby will be at less risk for respiratory illnesses. Hey, I'm just talking about breastfeeding. Educate your sweet self at 800-994-WOMAN or 4woman.gov or talk to your healthcare provider. Babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station, baby.
Hi, we're John and Vince from the band Cake, and we're fast losing our hearing, and music is our only livelihood, so it really leaves us in a desperate and depressing situation. If we had worn earplugs, if we had been smart, we could have averted this, but now it's pretty much over.
So wear your earplugs, please.
Pop quiz. Which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
I had thoughts of superstardom, singing in the mirror, I was flossing. Swear that I saw this, remember when I couldn't stand it, now I got the posture. Finally through paradise, call me Frankie's Goblin. All just to see your hands jumping at the concert, yeah. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing, no, I wouldn't change it ever. It's too long to live it for nothing, so this is my mood forever. Keep around me is my fam. No coincidence, it's always been the plan. And I always keep it chilly with the fans. Oh, A-life friend. And I love a little whiskey in my hand. Make it disappear, then reappear again. Matter of fact, I never want this life to end. Until the end, yeah. The voices in my head, they used to make me wanna break down. Had me hella weighed down. Had me in the corner, had me beat, but I'm okay now. Shoot. There's a will and there's a will.
It's always been the plan, and I always keep it truly with the fans. Oh, ain't life bad, and I love a little whiskey in my hand. I sip it down so I can fill it up again. Matter of fact, I never want this life to end, and to the end. I saw it all, saw it in my head, yeah. I saw it all, saw it in my head, yeah. I saw it all, saw it in my head, yeah. Ain't life.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show, as I'm here with you until 12 o'clock Eastern. And as we are now approaching the start of week three of the NFL preseason slate, and also closer to the beginning of the NFL regular season, I figure that now would be a pretty good time to look ahead to the start of the NFL regular season, given that it is now officially just 2 weeks away. Yeah, that's right. 2 weeks from tomorrow, the Bills of Buffalo will travel to Los Angeles to take on the Super Bowl champion LA Rams and what will be an exciting NFL opening night to start the 2022-2023 regular season. So, with that being said, there was an article that came out today by Bill Barnwell of ESPN. It's on ESPN Plus, in which he predicted teams, about five teams, that are most likely to decline in 2022. And it looks like, to me, that there are a couple of teams that I didn't expect to see on this list. But I'm going to share with you some of the teams that he has on this list. He has five teams that he listed in which that he is predicting that they will likely lose more games than they did in 2021. So here we go. Start with the Tennessee Titans. Last year, the Tennessee Titans, they went 12-5. We all remember that absolutely fart bomb that they dropped in the AFC divisional round against Cincinnati. We all remember it. But we're not going to start there. Going into 2022, I expected that this team is going to be one of the teams, if not one of the teams, to beat. I expected that this team was going to be the team to beat in the AFC South, and I still wholeheartedly believe that remains to be true. Despite the Colts making an upgrade at quarterback, and you're gonna have another year of Jonathan Taylor at running back, there's no reason to expect Tennessee to take a step back. So this is one reason why that Bill Barnwell has the Titans losing more games than they did last season. First reason, they were unsustainably good in games decided by 7 points or fewer. That is very true. You think about it for a moment. I want all of you to think about this for just a second. In 2020, the Titans, they were 7-2 in one score games. They were. Now, in the first two seasons, 2018 and 2019, those were the first 2 years under Mike Vrabel. The Titans were a combined 7-6 those first 2 years. 2020, they went 7-2. Last year, they fell to 6-2. And, you know, just using exaggeration here a bit. But here's the thing. The thing that I looked at is number one, Derrick Henry. Because if you remember, Derrick Henry wasn't the same running back production-wise that he was when he before he got injured during last season. And it's interesting because Bill Barnwell mentioned this in his article that Derrick Henry, in terms of his offense, in terms of his yards per carry, it went down. So when he suffered that right foot injury in November, he fell from 5.4 yards per carry all the way down to 4.3. That's not good. That's not good in terms of a guy who is used to not only carrying the ball, but getting meaningful yards on those runs. And when you think about the workload that Derrick Henry received, you can make an argument that he was worn down physically. He was worn down physically, and that made his numbers look unprecedentedly pedestrian by his standards. And when I say pedestrian, I mean average. They weren't the eye-popping numbers that you saw in 2020. These weren't the eye-popping numbers you saw in 2019. Or even 2018 when he really begun his ascension to becoming the running back that he is now. That is why I am of those in which that I believe that if Derrick Henry goes, the offense will go. There's no question. Because they can't rely on the quarterback right now. I mean, let's just be honest. Ryan Tannehill, on play action, he only averaged 6.6 yards. That's it. Which, again, supports my point in regards to the Tennessee Titans. I look at them as a team and I say, you know, the problem that I have with them is they are too heavily reliant on Derrick Henry. You increase his workload, he will break down. He's not going to give you the same offensive production than when you did not have to rely on him as being the sole guy. In the last couple of years, the Titans have lost Jonnu Smith and last offseason, A.J. Brown. Those are two massively huge losses. And then, on top of that, the defense. The Titans, if you go back to 2020, they forced turnovers of 13.7% of their opposing drives, which was seventh in the NFL. The defense got better. It helps that when you add guys like Bud Dupree, and when you add guys, you know, such as Jeffrey Simmons, and you enjoy big improvements from Christian Fulton and Harold Landry, who they all played at a Pro Bowl level. But I just felt like this is a Titans team that unfortunately took a step back in terms of the turnover margin. They dropped from a plus 11 to a minus 3. And what does that do? When your defense is not forcing turnovers the way that it has previously, that means you're putting more pressure on the offense. And when your offense does not have a quarterback that could force the ball down the field, that could be above average to not mediocre, you have to rely on one guy, and that guy is Derrick Henry. And that's just a recipe for disaster. But here is another team that really does surprise me that's on this list. And I want to get to this team now. Can we talk about the Las Vegas Raiders here for a moment? Because the Raiders, on one hand, I expect that this team is going to be better than the 10-7 record that they had a year ago. I know, hot take. How could I possibly be in a loaded AFC West? Yes, I'll get to that right now. You go out and you get a Davante Adams, who right now is the best receiver in football. Hands down. That's not even an argument. And then you turn around and you go out and you also get Chandler Jones, one of the best edge rushers in the NFL, bar none. You're not going to tell me that this is not a team that you look at in the AFC West and you say, that team's gotten better. And then, oh, by the way, they go out and they hire Josh McDaniels, a former offensive coordinator from the New England Patriots. So you have an offensive mind like Josh McDaniels. You have an offensive talent like Davante Adams, who is going to mesh magically with the quarterback Derek Carr and Chandler Jones on the edge rush. And then, oh, by the way, you can expect another monster year from Max Crosby? Come on. But the fact that this team was listed as a team that is going to regress is surprising. Very surprising. I mean, here's the reality. I understand that this was a Raiders team that got out to a slow start last season. They had a whole plethora of issues. Obviously, John Gruden being exposed for the racist bastard that he is. Homophobic bastard that he really is. And then issues regarding the coaching at first. Let's face it, they started off 6-7. But that 6-7 was a combination of factors that just did not mesh well. They got hot in December. After they got blown out by Kansas City on Sunday Night Football, they absolutely took care of business. But here's the reality. Let's look at the teams who they beat. Week 15, they played the Browns. They're starting Nick Mullins. Week 16, they were playing against their backup, Drew Locke. But the reason why I say that is because if you think about it, and it's not hard to see, they didn't face real competition in terms of the opposing quarterbacks. Those quarterbacks I just mentioned just a few moments ago, Nick Mullins and Drew Locke, on any given Sunday, are bottom-tier quarterbacks in the NFL. That's a fact. So, on one hand, I can see why I personally wouldn't be surprised if this team would take a step back. On the other hand, I can see why I wholeheartedly expect that this team will actually get better, maybe win 11 games, let go 11-6 in the AFC West. But I just don't see how this team, with all of the talent and the expectation that is now placed upon that team in Las Vegas, take a step back in 2022 after the offseason moves that they made. I think that this is a team that's going to be one of the wild card teams in the AFC. But my gosh, let me conclude this segment by saying the following. This AFC West division is going to be a bloodbath. I believe it. The AFC West is going to be a bloodbath, and to top all things off, the Raiders may be the reason why, because let's be honest, no team in that division is going to go what? 6-0? There's no way in hell. They're not going to go 6-0. Nobody in that division is going to go 6-0 within the division. It's not going to happen. It's been a terrific show so far, and we are going to take a music break. And coming up next, one of the more interesting things happened to me yesterday. And I want to share that with you, in which that it was an absolute wake-up call. I'm going to discuss that and another story in sports that I do believe deserves to have your attention. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Right.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to join the program here on this Wednesday morning as we are rapidly approaching noon in Boston and across the greater Boston area. And hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday as well. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in the program. Yesterday, I admit, it was a really heavy day. It was. And this is really the first time that I've talked about this with anybody. And given that I hadn't even, like, you know, posted about it or talked about it on social media. I think for me, the reason why I'm doing this is because, you know, sometimes in life you have those wake up calls, those wake up moments where, hey, bud, you better wake the hell up and get your stuff together. And you're going to need to make some changes. And yesterday was that day. So I had a physical in Lawrence, so I woke up very early, and I, you know, hopped on the commuter rail train and went up to Lawrence and had my physical, and there were some things that were rather concerning to see, and one of them was the fact that I was yesterday I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and that was really a true wake-up call for me, because for a long time I hadn't been able to afford going to, like, the doctor or having my own PCP. I mean, that's part of a much longer story. That's for another day, another time. So, to be frank, I'm not going to lie, going to the doctor's office, I was okay. I was just really sleep deprived. But getting that news yesterday was like a, yeah, oh my God, type of moment, where it was almost as if that I realized then that how serious this is and how fragile life is. And if you are someone like me, who are you're in your late 20s, or maybe you're 30 years old like me, you're thinking that, well, I got the time in the world, I got all the time in the world. And in reality is, you don't. If you don't take care of yourself, like, your time on this world could end a lot sooner than you'd hope, which is why I decided to take the time just to even talk about this, was just because I have come to the realization that there are things that I have to change, and I will in fact change, and I'm looking forward to seeing the end results of that said change. You know, like, I hadn't been able to sleep well for quite some time. I'm not gonna lie, and I will say that, you know, prior to this past weekend, it had been a really stressful month. I'll be honest with you, it has. Between not being happy with work and the temp job situation that I was in, to suddenly, like, wondering, like, how was I going to be able to get to my brother's wedding, and among other things, it had been a really stressful month of August. And then stressing on top of not sleeping well, which led to yesterday's diagnosis, was like a real wake-up call. You know, and I believe that this is for the greater good. This is for my own good. That sometimes you get that wake-up call in life and it's like, hey, you're not invincible. You're not invincible, and that there's no one else in this world that's going to take care of you like you can take care of you. And I needed to hear that. Me and the doctor had a very honest conversation, and I realized it was needed. It was 100% needed. And sometimes you need to hear the truth from those who frankly are looking out for you. And it was very clear, like almost early on in the conversation, that the doctor was really looking out for my overall well-being, and I'm grateful for that. And sometimes when you have time to really think about things and you just really reflect on where you currently are and how you can change for the better, it overwhelms you. It does. But instead of allowing it to overwhelm me, I think perspective is key. Perspective is truly everything. It's everything in which like how you look at things, how you choose to receive news, and how you choose to receive, you know, like whatever that's happening to you or around you in life. And I think that in itself yesterday was just so critical, that not only that I got my physical done, but also the truth was needed to be confronted, and I did. So if you're anyone out there, you know, that's afraid to go to the doctor, that's afraid to go get their physical, I strongly urge you to please, please, and please go get checked. Please go get checked. Check on your overall health. How are you doing? What's your blood pressure? Are you diabetic? And I am imploring anyone, that's whether it's male or female or whatever you identify as, take care of yourself. Take care of your health. And that goes for me more than anybody else. This is for me. I have to do a better job of taking care of me, and I will, because I realize that there are too many people who do look up to me and who do rely on me, and they want me around. I need to be around for those people. I need to live a full-fledged life in which that God has given me. And that in itself is the reason why I am sitting here today sharing with you all of this. This is real. Life is real. Your health is real. And if you're not careful, it can become a situation that is a life and death situation. So it's 11:52. We're going to, you know, shift back into sports and just talk. Just talk about a story that I think in sports that deserves your attention, deserves to be talked about, and that is, I am a big fan of being able to find a way to win, to succeed, despite whatever the odds that may be stacked against you. I think that in itself is so important. It truly is. And when we look at the life of Kobe Bryant, in which today is Kobe Bryant Day, 8/24, what better person to look at for inspiration? In terms of, you got to invest, you got to be willing to invest to do whatever it takes for you to succeed and get to an elite place that you're trying to get to. And I think that is so powerful. It's so wonderful. And in front of me, I have the ESPN article of Kobe Bryant's two legendary careers. The first one we're at number 8, and the second one, we're at number 24. And you talk about someone who believed in himself. Someone who believed that he, in itself, can be that guy and became one of the greatest players of all time, greatest players in NBA history, because he had an indomitable will that was truly unrivaled in all of sports, probably, definitely for sure in the NBA, but definitely in all of sports, which is why whenever I come across Kobe Bryant and I come across any of his stories, I truly marvel. I marvel at what he was able to accomplish. I marvel at what he was able to do. I think we all can really learn from Kobe Bryant in his story. And I know that I said, like, we would talk about a sports story that really, like, impacts and so forth. His story does. I do believe that ultimately you have to be willing to put in the sacrifice, make those sacrifices in order to make those goals come to fruition, come true. Because no one said it was going to be easy. You have to be willing to get up every day, even when you don't feel like it. You know, put in the work. Put in the time. And that's what it's all about. It's all about proving to yourself every single day, how bad do you want it? How much work are you willing to put in order to get to that point? That doesn't mean stress yourself out. No. It means if you know you have the time and you want it so bad, you have to be willing to create that time. Kobe Bryant used to get up at 3, 4 a.m., go work out, come back, eat breakfast, come back out. We for the most part, have seen and read his stories, right? And this even applies to me now. Because I know in short order that my radio show, the regular slot from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. is going to change. Because next week, God willing, I am in fact going to be starting a new JOB. So that in itself is something that I'm looking forward to doing, but I'm also looking forward to challenging myself as well to get myself to that point. And Lord, the day that I finally am able to get cable reactivated in my apartment, which I haven't had since April, game changer, absolute game changer. But for right now, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio. Glad to be here with you today, being able to do the show. I'll be back again tomorrow from 11 a.m. till noon. Same time, same place. Coming up next, Strange Waves is coming up from 12 noon to 1 p.m. with DJ H. So stick around for that. This is Shukri Wright signing off. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. This is 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Have a good day, everybody, and peace.